Welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful Mike Sauter. How are you doing today, Mike?
I think you're being sarcastic about the wonderful part. Might be being sarcastic today.
Well, one of us has to go out in the rain for football practice.
That's me.
Yep. So,
I mean, I'm fine. I won't melt. I don't think.
All right. Well, let's get into it today. We've got a jam-packed show, and leading off, we've got something that gets everybody talking every single time you put them out. New high school football rankings, and I want to start right off the top with 2020. The question that everyone wants to know: Watts versus Betts.
Yeah. So I have Watts number one. I kept him at number one. He's not always been number one, but he was number one in the end of the high school season rankings, or the previous update, and then he's number one again on this update. And it's mainly because of his versatility. He can play safety and wide receiver. If you needed him at running back, he probably could do that too. Xavier Betts is a absolute stud and freak of an athlete. Fits every single measurable 40 times and all of that. He's not as versatile. And he can't play multiple positions, and for me, that's important in what I do. He's more of a camp stud guy than Watts is. So, but when you actually put the tape on and watch a game and, you know, play, for me, Watts just has that edge. And if there was a 1A, obviously it'd be that close. You have to go with the two. And that's why I have Watts over Betts by a margin, not a significant margin or anything. It's a slight margin. But I just think he does a lot more on the field, and both are fantastic and good kids and all that stuff. But for me, again, the versatility is just kind of that little notch.
So the natural question to me is, and I'm sure I know the answer to this, but Watts is committed to Notre Dame at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Betts is committed to Nebraska at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That singular position alone, taking the versatility out of it, who's better? Who's the top prospect at wide receiver?
Well, I think it's probably to be determined if Watts is clearly, I think, slated to play wide receiver, but I think there's a possibility he could play safety. And I think he's probably a better safety. That's just my opinion. But if you look at prospect as a wide receiver, probably Betts fits that mold better, just because he has the measurable-y stuff, which is very important, obviously. But that's kind of why I think he is just the measurable piece. But Xavier Watts just makes plays after play after play after play. So he can disrupt a game, even offensively, a little more than Betts can.
And if you want more on what Watts will bring to the Fighting Irish and more on what Betts will bring to the Huskers, Sauter, and after they committed, compiled how they fit those two schools, mm-hmm. what they'll bring, those are on nebhsrecruiting.com. Those are a fantastic look back and still worth a read today, even though they are a couple months old. They're must read, really, for Husker fans and Irish fans for what those two guys are all about. The next tier to me is three guys. You're 3, 4, and 5. Jay Ducker, mm-hmm. Isaac Gifford, and Cole Herbolsheimer.
Right. And that's, I'd say, well, Jay remained at 3. He's slated to have a huge year. He should have a huge year and break the career touchdown record, rushing touchdown record for Bellevue West. Gifford is just a stud. I was out at their practice on Tuesday, and he, again, multiple position versatility. He can play safety, linebacker, wide receiver, running back, and he is a absolute leader. Couple of mistakes were made by his teammates, and he was very quick to correct them even before coaches. He is very much so a coach on the field. He's calling out the defenses and telling kids where to line up when they're doing some shell skeleton-y stuff. There's a lot to like about him, just intangibly things, right? And then Herbolsheimer, two-way player, probably going to have to play defensive tackle and offensive tackle at the Class A level at a very high level in a team that has aspirations for a state title. That's really hard to do, to play pretty much both ways the whole game at that level. But again, he's, you know, 6'2", workout warrior. I mean, he's an absolute beast when it comes to lifting weights, throwing people around and weight around and all of those things. He has, you know, offers from Wyoming and a bunch of FCS schools, Texas State, I think South Dakota State, North Carolina, all the local-ish ones. He will be certainly a huge factor for Millard South and what they do. But if he was like, if he was 6'4", it'd be game over.
Yeah.
He just doesn't fit that one measurable as probably a defensive tackle or an offensive guard or something. He probably still kicks into guard. If he plays offensive line at the next level, he probably still kicks in. But if he was 2 inches taller, I can almost guarantee you he would have some sort of power conference offers, multiple. But he's making the best of it, and a fantastic kid, and hard worker and leader and all of those things.
And the next guy I have here, the K-State tight end commit, Will Swanson.
Right.
Big riser. He wasn't ranked before.
No, yeah. I had a lot of guys in that top 20 that I put out that weren't ranked. He was the one that moved up the highest. Kansas State commit and just shut down all his recruitment, and he's going to Kansas. That's it. Had a bunch of FCS offers. He had a huge June at the Lindenwood camp. Great showing there in St. Louis early June. And after that, just blew up. Got a ton of offers from FCS schools, Kansas State. K-State actually had him come visit kind of that same weekend-ish. And then he went back for another one. But he really did blow up. I mean, he's got the size and measurable stuff. He's a really good blocker, inline blocker. Can use him as, I think, Papio South, from what I saw in June. Haven't seen him this fall yet, but they're going to use him a lot on kind of some seam routes and even like 5 yard out stuff. And he's just so big and has a big catch radius. And again, like I said, a very good blocker. So he definitely improved the most of probably any player, I would say, obviously, from, you know, junior to senior year, or even over the summer. He just kind of grew a little bit. He said he focused on kind of the weight room and different things. So it definitely was a surprise for basically everybody that he performed that well, just because his junior year wasn't that great. But it's one of those neat kind of cool story surprises that Will Swanson is, and he should have a pretty big year for Papio South as their main receiving target.
One question I don't have on this list, I'm going to go off script a little bit. Just looking at this top six right here, is there anyone that is not in there that at the end of the season could challenge for a top five spot?
Ty Hahn is a guy, depending. He's at Johnson Brock. He's such a great athlete and a good, again, multiple position player. I'm not sure how big of a season he's going to have, because Johnson Brock is really redoing kind of, they lost a bunch of dudes, and so he's going to have a little trouble there. Tyson Gordon might be another guy. Caleb Robinson would be a dude that you could see maybe making that leap up. He's going to have a huge, big year for Omaha Burke. Defensive line, he's going to play kind of like a tight end-ish, like a lead blocking tight end in some power formations, which is pretty phenomenal because he's a big, big kid. Marquise Siegel, I went to North practice the other day, and that kid is like put together. I mean, like just thick and stud. Just looking at him, you're like, wow, that's what a cornerback should look like. Like that guy right there. Doesn't miss a lot of days in the weight room and those sort of things. So Dallas Beanham, another guy that could be kind of a punch up or a guy that makes a move. He'll have a nice year again for Millard West and probably a two-way player at corner and wide receiver.
And this is a question I have for 2020, but it could really apply to 2020, 2021, 2022, even dating back, you know, the recent years. Why is quarterback so thin?
I think it's probably just some of Nebraska was, now when I say this, a little late to the party as far as spread and stuff like that. And it's been probably in the last maybe 8-10 years that's kind of taken hold a little bit in Nebraska. And it still has, there's still a lot of schools that don't do it and don't throw it that much and everything. So I think that's probably part of the reason why there isn't any. Now, there's some good kind of prospects, but it's not every day you see, you know, there's very few FCS or power level quarterback prospects from Nebraska. There just isn't. I don't necessarily know the answer, but I think it's just because we're a little behind as far as, and we need to catch up, and we are. I think more schools are moving to some spread formations. Heck, Elkhorn is going to be in a spread this year. Mm-hmm. Like, almost like, what?
Yeah.
that's like Coach Worman has ran just a power eye kind of offense forever. So they're changing it up a little bit. So I think more and more schools are adapting to that, but that's probably the reason why it's just kind of took hold a little bit later. And even that 7-on-7 culture of passing a lot and passing leagues and everything is sort of new for Nebraska and for the state anyway.
And I'm sure some of it is a little bit cyclical, and that's not to say that we haven't had great quarterback play in the state. I mean, we just had Baylor Shireman last year, Jaden Kowalski, Bellevue West. Mm-hmm. It's just we haven't had some of those top recruits, and to your point,
right,
a lot of it's probably spread offense, a lot of it is probably cyclical. You know, we have mm-hmm. top athletes in the state, but they're playing other positions.
Yeah, or like a lot of kids are just playing baseball only, or, you know, that could be a, you know, mm-hmm. there could be some really good quarterbacks. Heck, I know Chucky Hepburn, basketball player, he was a really good quarterback, but he now just kind of was like, I just want to do basketball. So that is part of it too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of comparisons to him and a lot of comparisons to Chucky Hepburn and like Eric Strickland, because Strick was a multi-sport guy, so really good football player too. So there was some comps there, but now more and more kids are just specializing in things, and even now there's fall baseball and all of that. So that's probably part of it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. Let's go on to 2021, and at the top of that class, it's a very similar to 2020. There's mm-hmm. two top prospects. And that's going, the top spot is going to be a debate until the end of 2021. And I'm sure even after that, who deserved to be the top player. I'm, of course, talking about Omaha West Side's Avante Dickerson and Elkhorn South's Teddy Prochazka. Offensive lineman, Prochazka's huge. Mm-hmm. Avante Dickerson is super fast, 4.37 40. I know Nebraska would love to have both mm-hmm. those guys. Mm-hmm. What went into putting Dickerson number one?
No, I've just kind of kept him there. He was number one since we did a top 10 for this class. And one, the speed is just phenomenal. The length is great. And then when you put the tape on, he's multiple position guy, kick returner, running back, defensive back, corner, could and probably will play some safety too this year. That athleticism is what sort of separates him. Then, like most recruiting analysts or people that do play rankings, you always go with offers as part of the mix too. And he has a little bit higher. I mean, LSU, Ohio State, Nebraska. That's all basically all you need to know.
Right.
So, like when LSU and Ohio State, two of the schools that have had the most cornerback first round or drafted, I guess I should say, NFL draft draft picks at the position you're going to play, that means you're a pretty special dude.
So Dickerson is likely a defensive back of the next level?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's being recruited that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Teddy is another kind of freak of nature. I mean, he's 6'9", offensive tackle, and like, I don't know what his body fat is, but it's not a lot. So you look at him and you look at his frame and you're like, wow, there's a lot you can work with. And he's pretty athletic and powerful. Specifically, like his trunk is, like his bottom half is thick and strong right now. And then if you just college coaches, you look at it, you're like, yeah, we can work with that frame and add weight onto that. So
he was one of the highlights of Nebraska's pipeline camp.
Yeah, for sure.
Easily.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. So this summer he had a really good showing there. He obviously has gotten a Michigan offer and Northwestern, and Nebraska was his first offer the beginning of last fall, I think. And he's matured a ton since then. Even if you look at pictures of him from then to now, you're like, whoa, this is a different person. But he's a beast, and he's going to be obviously extremely good, and Elkhorn South's going to be really good too. It's just, for me, the difference in those one and two is Dickerson just has that blazing speed, athleticism that is super hard to find. Now, Teddy is also 6'9", 285, which is hard to find. But
yeah.
I just think the little bit of versatility in there is, I keep saying that word.
Yeah.
But for me, that just is so, that just athlete, right?
Yeah.
Is
there anything that Teddy could do that could elevate him to number one?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. It just depends on kind of what we see this year. If Dickerson doesn't have as good of a year, then maybe you flip him. But I don't think either one really care.
Yeah.
where I have them rated or whatever. I really don't think they care.
And this is another one of those situations where it's one.
Yeah,
and 1A.
They're both easily could be number one. You could make an argument for both of them and be perfectly fine. So no real difference there.
Definitely. And speaking of Teddy, I think what this class highlights and the class to follow is the return of Nebraska developing and producing top offensive line recruits. Mm-hmm. Because you have Teddy. You have another Elkhorn South lineman,
Isaac Zadica,
and I know a few others that...
Kate Haberman.
Yeah, Omaha West Sides, and he's another guy, like you were saying, with Herbolsheimer.
Yeah.
If Haberman were 1-2 inches
six,
taller,
yep.
Mm-hmm. He would be right up there mm-hmm. with those top
offers. Another couple, Nolan Gorsica, who had a good team camp from Ron Colley. He had a good Nebraska team camp. And then two Omaha North kids, Tristan Gray and Hunter Push, are two guys that could be in that sort of mix too, as far as very good offensive linemen in that 2021 class. Bo Wendt is another kid that I like a lot at offensive guard from Millard South. So, yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of these kids, and I think it's really good for Nebraska, just as a high school, not mm-hmm. the Huskers. I think it's really good for Nebraska to be known as producing and developing offensive linemen. I think it's great that we're getting back to that.
Yeah, yeah, and that this class kind of proves it is should be coming back there. So yeah.
And one other guy I want to highlight for 2021, Bellevue West junior Keegan Johnson. He was your biggest riser of the class. Very impressive athlete. Versatile. I know you mm-hmm. love that word. That's our word of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from Johnson?
So I'm in June. Like he's changed his body. Like he's matured a ton. What really, really helped him, he struggled a little bit last year at corner for Bellevue West. I mean, people were kind of attacking him a little bit, but that helped him a ton. That experience and just kind of maturity helped him a ton. He was able to mature a little quicker, I mean, mentally, as far as playing on the field. So that helped a lot. He's going to play some safety this year and wide receiver. I think he's kind of probably recruited as maybe safety or corner, maybe wide receiver too. I know his first offer and only one right now is South Dakota State, and I say right now and I emphasize that because I think more definitely are going to come. But he looks great. Like, you can tell he's been lifting and working during the off season. His body physically is maturing, which is fantastic. And he's definitely a guy that, like, is poised to have a pretty big year on both sides of the ball. And I hope he does, because I put a lot of stock in him. But I believe strongly that he's going to have a good year. And part of that too is, you know, I talked to coaches and things, and they're high on him and moving in that direction too. So, Keegan, you know, back me up here, man.
The other thing working in his favor is what Bellevue West has done recently.
Oh, I thought you meant the bloodline. Clester's dad, and I thought that's where you're going. Clester, dad,
no.
CJ, brother, Cade, brother, both super awesome dudes and good football players in high school. And Cade was a FCS All-American last year.
That ties into it, though. He has plenty of examples of what to do to...
Or what not to do, if you ask
his
dad.
And what not to do, yes. What Michael Huffman has done at Bellevue West is they've consistently produced these type of players. And, I mean, look at the seniors above Keegan, Shane Daly, and... Xavier Betts.
Shane is at South Dakota State, but Nate Sullivan, I think.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah. And then now they even got two 2022 kids, which we're going to touch on it while let's just jump into it. But Micah Riley and Caden Helms, two like long strider looking like displaced tight ends for them. So there's a ton of talent at Bellevue West. Keyshawn Williams, I'm just going to go right into 2022.
No, go ahead.
Transition,
go ahead.
But Keyshawn Williams is a guy that really flashes a lot, and he flashed a ton at the practice I was at the other day. They're moving him from corner to outside linebacker, which is another just speed, strong kid. They could move him back out if they need to. His brother Zion, who was awesome All-State kid at or All-Nebraska talent from North and now at Iowa Western, but you look at him as another guy. There's a list of – I put the list of 25 guys.
It's names to watch. It's in alphabetical. It's
all
not
it
any
is
type
is,
of –
Yeah, it's not a ranking. It's just alphabetical stuff. So it's nothing kind of more than that. I will tell you, Jake Applegate, his brother is Isaac, and Isaac is committed – Isaac is committed to South Dakota State also, but Jake, man, he made a couple of catches, like high pointed some balls on both offense and defense when I was at their practice the other day. I mean, there's a lot to like about him. Another offensive line guy, Chase Emzik's going to have a pretty good say in where these rankings come out and offensive line talent and stuff down the road. But Trevor Brown is a grown man. Like, he is... grown man is basically all you can say. So offensive line, and he was a heavyweight wrestler. I think he was in the semis as a heavyweight as a freshman last year. I mean, he's got like full leg hair and stuff. I mean, he's already just a beast. So,
all right, I've got a few names on here that I want to highlight. You've already highlighted a few. I don't want to give away the whole list for everybody because I encourage people to check out this entire package of stories on NebHSRecruiting.com because you have the ratings for 2020 and 2021 and the column that goes along with those.
Each one, yeah.
Explaining everything. And then you have these 25 guys to watch in 2022. And so I want to highlight three names and no more. I mean, we could talk about all 25, but I want people to go and check this list out because it's fantastic and it's a great primer for football season. So first is a name that people are going to recognize. Juergens. Another Beatrice.
Yeah.
Elliot Juergens. What's going on with him?
So he's Cam Juergens' cousin. And again, kind of a dual sporty athlete guy, versatile and all that.
It's our word of the day.
Yeah. So he is a good basketball player and kind of to be determined as far as football is concerned. I just put him on the list because he's should have a pretty nice season for a good Class B school this year. So that's kind of why, as a, it's just a watch list, right? So it's mm-hmm. like these dudes could be the next thing. I didn't want to jump the gun too much by ranking them and putting them in where these are like, okay, here's 25 names that could be the guy. Now there's hundreds of others, but I just wanted to just kind of, okay, this is what I'm feeling. Maybe these dudes could be the next guy. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And there's a theme here. I have another mm-hmm. offensive lineman from Elkhorn South, mm-hmm. Chase Emsick.
Yeah. We touched on him briefly, but he's a guy that, should be in the mix for them. I'm looking for, I'm going to their practice, next week, I think. But he's definitely a guy that I think has the potential to be that kind of next kind of Division I-y prospect type of kid. They have Ben Warren's a really good running back in that class for them too. Short, stocky, powerful kind of kid. So, kind of one of those just multi-purpose athletes that they have there. Kind of, I don't know, people, if they remember, like Moses Bryant was that guy, that they just used all over the field in a bunch of different ways and real creative. So that's him.
All right. And one last name I have here, and then I'm going to put you on the spot with a question. Omaha North's Keyshawn Williams. It's a guy I know you're really high on.
Mm-hmm. Like he moved to outside linebacker. He's one of the better athletes in the class, any sport. I'm talking just like athlete overall. Super athletic on a basketball court and football field, clearly. He's probably going to play some wide receiver too, outside wide receiver for them. He's going to probably need to. Good ball skills, all that as a wide receiver, but moving him kind of closer to the line of scrimmage just adds another element of speed and quickness to get to the quarterback and in coverage and things like that. So he should have a pretty solid year, I would say.
All right. Who's the early favorite to be number one in this class?
Oh, man. Could be like a guy like a Koa McIntyre from Fremont Bergen, just because he's such a stud like athlete. If you look at all his numbers, he's another guy. But right now, you probably got to go with probably a Trevor Brown. If you were doing it today, you're like, okay, he's proven mm-hmm. it at the varsity level. He's proven it at the varsity level already, and he's a monster. So that kind of helps.
And none of these kids really have a whole lot of offers.
No, yet. Yeah.
So
that stuff is down the road.
We're just basing it off of on
yeah,
the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we get to your practice reports, I feel like you've been everywhere mm-hmm. and you still have dozens of more practices to go to. I want to take a minute here and thank our sponsor, Look Architectural Coatings, specializing in commercial wall and glass graphics. I know they're Sauter's favorite for wall clings.
Yeah, window clings. Well, like if you're doing fancy window treatments inside of a business or an office or something, that call Look. That's your guy. Call Mike.
Look Architectural Coatings. Mm-hmm. Tell him Mike Sauter sent you. He'll ask why. No, but seriously,
he won't.
Architectural Coatings.
Yeah.
All right. I have four teams that you've been to, mm-hmm. and I want to hit on some key points with them. First off, Papillion La Vista, and they did something that I'm a really big fan of. They did the when you could open practice, they had a midnight practice. First year coach Tim Williams brought it over. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really cool idea.
It's now you might like it. A lot of other people didn't. Besides like the, you know, like 50 plus parents that were there and you know, all the kids loved it and were excited and waiting for it to count down to midnight. That's fun, right?
Yeah.
So that's some excitement and that's team bonding and building and things. So
practicing under the lights.
Right. For an old guy like me, getting home at like 2:30 was a little rough, but that's okay.
Everything's about you, Sauter.
No, I'm just saying for older people is a little rough, especially I'm a 13-week-old at home, so it's a little different. Now, I thought it was really cool. I like the idea a lot. It's something that he's always done. And when you're trying to get some juice, you know, you're trying to build some juice there as mm-hmm. far as with your program and your name, might as well do it because no one else in the metro is doing it, or I don't think they've ever done it.
Right.
So that Props to Tim. He was at Waverly, and he brought over from Waverly. He's always been. They've always done it there, and he just kind of is starting a new tradition at Papillion with this.
Do you think we could see more teams doing it, no. or do you think it's
in the Metro? No.
Do you think it's something that could lend to that practice time being moved up for teams to have it at like 9 o'clock at night?
No, I don't think so. I think it's kind of they've done. I mean, Waverly's done it. Beatrice has done it. But there's more than a handful of schools that have done it at midnight for kind of the last for years. So I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Okay. And then three names for the Monarchs that I want to highlight here. Running back Frankie Allen, offensive lineman Preston Kellogg, and quarterback Lane Harris.
Right. So Frankie Allen is, as the person that rates players in Nebraska, he's probably undervalued. He's super quick and fast, speedy guy, tough. Like a lot of what you see from him, he can catch out of the backfield. He's probably their best athlete by far. And then Preston Kellogg, he's getting stronger, getting a little more athletic. He's already pretty good athlete. Again, multi-sport kid, good basketball player, offensive lineman, all that stuff. Be interesting to see where his recruitment lands or ends up. Just because he's such a big kid and strong kid. So we'll see. He's a guy, as far as play ranking stuff, he could go up too. He was up, and then now I've kind of dropped him down a little bit because people kind of surpassed him a little bit. But I think now there's a chance he could tick back up in there. And then Lane Harris, the quarterback, transferred from Papio South, didn't play football. So there isn't a lot like to go off of there. But he's athletic, and they're going to run a lot of zone read stuff with him and Frankie Allen, and there's a handful of other guys. It's actually more of like a pistol zone read.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be kind of fun to see those guys run around a little bit. Their line's going to have to be good so in order for them to run the ball.
All right, next up, Bellevue West. And we've talked about them quite a bit, but there's a couple under-the-radar things with them that I want to talk about. Millard West transfer quarterback Nate Glantz, how did he look?
Good. He fits what they like to do. He's the zone read kind of running quarterback stuff is back in the Bellevue West offense because he can run it. He's totally going to help with that. Should have a good year, obviously. And then Ryan Rogers, linebacker, that mm-hmm. he hurt his knee last year. He's coming back from that. He's got a big trunk. They moved him, I think, to outside linebacker, and he should be a huge piece to that defense. He's a stud. Like, he just flat out is a stud. He'll probably be – Bellevue West hasn't had a Division I defensive player, and he's probably going to be one of the guys. He'll probably be the first one.
The big thing to monitor for the Thunderbirds every year is defense.
And he'll help a lot.
Yep. Let's move on to Omaha North. The big question for them – how will they replace Xander Gray?
Well, you have a lot of options. I mean, you have Trayon, Fairgood Jones, Siegel probably be a wide receiver. Missing a couple guys. Avion Barnes at corner, too. There's a handful of guys that can fill that spot, and it's probably going to be by committee a little bit, but Fairgood Jones will probably be that guy, and he also linebacker. So, they just have their back eight at Omaha North. They run a 3-4. Their back eight is ridiculous. Like, speed, skill, come down and punish you. Like, it is probably the best back, like, linebacker and safety and corner. Like, it's ridiculously good. It's just a matter of keeping offensive linemen off of those guys, which is going to be one of their questions is defensive line.
And you were also at Lincoln Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
They have a strong offensive line led by Husker walk-on commit Xavier Trevino. They have strong running backs. We touched on the Applegates a little bit earlier mm-hmm. in the show. The big question for them, I think, that will be a huge key to their season is what can the Tuioti's bring? They are obviously the sons of mm-hmm. new Husker defensive line coach Tony Tuioti, and we have Tavis and Taylor Tuioti.
Yeah, there's actually a third one, but Tavis will be it. In the rotation and mix it at defensive line and likely starter, obviously, at defensive line. He brings a lot of depth there. They need some depth there just to take some give like Trevino a break a little bit as far as playing both ways. By the way, Xavier Trevino, love that dude. His energy is awesome. And then Nick Halen at running back will help them. Their question is going to be quarterback. That'll be their question. What can they get from that quarterback position? That's going to be huge for them. They're definitely going to be able to run the ball, though.
Look out for more of Mike Sauter's practice reports. I know he has about 8 on deck this weekend, as well as some next week. And honestly, this is the time of year, folks. If you are not subscribed to Omaha.com, I really have to wonder, what are you doing? Because we have Sauter's practice reports, the high school football preview, which includes the Super Six, the World Herald's 6 top high school football prospects, is launching this Saturday. It'll be in print for Sunday. It'll be online Saturday. We've already started pushing out our high school preview section during the week. Next weekend, we have our college football preview. And not to mention that leading up to that and after that, you get Husker football coverage with Sam McEwen, Chris Hetty, and Evan Bland, as well as everything you could read on game day leading up to the game and recruiting from all of those guys. Creighton basketball, John Niatawa, the food reviews with Sarah Baker Hansen, investigative reporting you can't find anywhere else, political coverage. Check it all out. Omaha.com/subscribe. Great deal, 99 cents for the first month. In the meantime, check us out wherever you get your podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button. Thanks for listening.